Welcome to the Awake Church Podcast. At Awake, our mission is simple. Know God, take action. We pray this podcast will help you on that journey.
All right, so we want to jump in here. I had planned to do this series. I was going to do it for over 6 weeks, and now I'm shrinking it back down again because of other things I feel like we need to talk about. So at least, Lord willing, we'll hit 3 weeks of this on hearing God's voice, such an important topic and area. Oh, my goodness. And also, it's one of the most exciting for me to talk about. I love this, and I hopefully you'll learn something. We'll grow together and get to hear the Lord's voice together. Before we do that, how about we all just do something? I do this personally. This is, if it's a secret, I'm letting you in on my secret. I do this often. I do this probably every time before I speak. I do this throughout the day, is I will just shut everything down and say, fill me afresh, Holy Spirit. I do that a lot. Maybe you do the same thing, but why don't we do it together here for a moment? Do you mind doing that? Just close your eyes. Open up your spirit, your heart, and just real quickly, here's what Ephesians 4 says. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. How often could a person get drunk with wine? If they wanted to, not that you should, every day you could. So how often can we get filled with the Spirit? Every day. Every day. So we just right now open up our spirit to you, Holy Spirit. We receive you. We want you. Ask that you'd fill us. Come with your presence, your power, with your truth, with your life. Fill us to overflowing. We receive you by faith afresh this moment today. And just take a deep breath and breathe him in. You know, the presence of God is more ubiquitous than air. And he's a little bit like air. He's everywhere. We can breathe him in. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. I'm telling you what, it's a life changer to live that way. Constantly being filled with the Spirit. It says of a few people in the Bible that they were filled or actually full of the Spirit, but not everyone. Some people lived full. Some people live half empty or half full. But we can live full of the Spirit all the time. Always inviting him. Fill me all over again. Fill my spirit so I'm robust in you. It's an awesome thing. All right. Again, want to talk about hearing God's voice here. You know, for 1,000+ years during what we call the Dark Ages, and I refer often to history. I'm not going to apologize for it because I think it's so important to know the history of life, of where we came from, of what has happened, so that we don't repeat it for one, but we also learn from it as well. And for over 1,000 years, unfortunately, church leaders in the Catholic Church, which was the kind of the official church, they kind of took over, I would say, hijacked the body of Christ for a long period of time. And they kept people from reading the word, having it in their own language, from being literate. They also kept them from thinking that they could hear from God. Only the priests, only the clergy, the official folks heard from God, then they would give it to you, you poor peasants, right? That was how it worked for over 1,000 years. Isn't that sad? I mean, just it breaks my heart to think that that's how it was. So people were in the dark. But the reality is the exact opposite of that. Do you know that every born-again believer can hear the voice of God? Every single one, from the moment they receive him, not 20 years later, that day, their ears are opened and they can hear the voice of God. That is a remarkable, earth-shaking, beautiful, exhilarating thing that you and I can hear the Lord's voice. And to any degree that we don't think we can, we believed a lie. Because you and I were made to, not just that we can, we were made to hear him. We were made to listen, hear God's voice, understand what he's saying, and have this romance with him as he speaks and we figure out what he's saying. It's a beautiful, wonderful thing. I'm so grateful that we get this. And so we want to talk about how we hear. And it's important that we believe that we can, because if you don't believe that you can, which has how I used to be honest, growing up in church from all of my life, met Jesus when I was 7, it took me many years into my 20s before, having been in church all this time, before I really believed that God was speaking to me. He spoke through my pastor, spoke through the word, but he would speak to me personally, I'm not so sure about that. I was uncertain, and if there's something to not be uncertain about, it's this. We need to be certain, believe it today. God is speaking to you, and we need to hear him more than ever before. There's no other time greater than today than we need to hear God, to hear his voice, to know what he's saying, to know what we should do, to know what we should say, how we should act, the decisions that we need to make. Wow, we need to hear him. Thankfully, it's not this striving thing. It's not this pleading. It's that you were born again. You have been made by the Spirit of God a new creation. Old things passed away. New things have come. All things have become new. Your ears are new when you became born again. But then your mind has to be renewed so that you believe it. You were already new, but it's our mind that needs to be transformed, that needs to believe the right things and shed the wrong things, the wrong ways of thinking, religiosity, and all those things that sometimes we learn in religion, unfortunately, that aren't necessarily true. We have to shed those things. 1 John 1, verse 3 says, "What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, so that you too may have fellowship with us." This is the Apostle John writes this. "And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." There's another passage that says, we have fellowship with the Holy Spirit. So our fellowship, your fellowship and my fellowship, is with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We get to have fellowship with the Trinity. They speak, they communicate, and in their own ways, which is, though they're one, they each communicate with us. This is part of the exhilaration and the adventure of life, is learning what that's like and how do we hear them and what do they sound like. Jesus said in John 10, 27, "My sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them and they follow me." My sheep hear my voice. It's not a question. My sheep, they do. They hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Are you one of those sheep? Yes, you are. You are a sheep of Jesus. You're a person of God. You hear his voice. If the enemy lies to you that you can't hear his voice, the voice of God, you can just quote him John 10, 27. You know, before our children each were born, my wife's stomach grew, her womb became full of this child whose arms are growing and legs are growing and head is growing and eyes forming and heart is beating. And you could start seeing movements, elbows going across there, heels going across there. And I would oftentimes, my wife would be lying in bed and I would just touch that stomach. And she'd say, "Feel this, come here, come here, come here, feel this." There's an elbow going flying across there. And I'd start talking to that child, start saying things to you, trying to imagine what they might look like, which is never right. We've talked about that before. But still imagining and speaking to this child. "I love you. I'm so thankful that you're coming. What's it like in there?" Just communicating with them, right? But my voice is going through skin, muscle, fluids, this bag of waters that they're inside of. It's like being in a swimming pool. You're down there, someone's saying something up above, something you hear, maybe something slightly, but it's all muffled. Until you come up out of the water, which is like baptism, right? It's a symbol of that. Or until, if you're a baby, you're born. Once you're born, your ears can hear clearly and your eyes can see then what's in front of you. And it's the same with being born again. You and I have been hearing God in muffled ways your entire lives until you became born again. He's always been talking. He always talks. He's the communicator. He's the author of communication. Everything that is came about by his communication, except for you and I, which he didn't speak into existence. He actually got down in the dirt on his knees with his hands and made with clay and dirt and formed you and I. Then he breathed into us. Other than that, he spoke everything into existence, but he's very personal with us. He touched us, formed us, filled us with his spirit, caused eyes and ears to hear. And being born again is a little bit like going back to the garden, of waking up and seeing God, of hearing his voice. You and I can hear the voice of the Father. We can hear the voice of the Spirit. When we were born again, when we were rebirthed, just as an airplane is made to fly, and it does not do as well on the ground. You know, the most dangerous place for an airplane is to be on the ground. The safest place for an airplane is to be in the sky. It's because it was made to do, it was made to fly. You and I were made to hear the voice of God. We were made to communicate with God. It's what we were made to do. If we're not, it's unnatural. It's unnatural. Think of it, if we actually twisted that mindset or shifted it from, I don't know if I can hear from God, or maybe, you know, some people can, but I don't know about me. That is a demonic mindset. The reality is that we were made to hear him. You were made in his image. Then he gave us these ears to hear. And not just physical ears, but spiritual ears. Ears on the inside to pay attention to the things that he's saying. And we need to be convinced that he speaks. It's this quest of life. Isaiah 50 verse 4 says, he awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. He awakens my ear. I think that's not just physical. He awakens my spiritual ear. He awakens the inside of me to listen to him as a disciple. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read a few verses here quickly. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. You guys remember this story? Samuel's mother was named Hannah. She couldn't have children. Then she promised the Lord if she got pregnant, she would give him to the Lord, and she did. And so here's Samuel growing up in Eli's place in the temple. Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And word from the Lord was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. Those are not the days we're living in, by the way. Verse 2, it happened at that time as Eli was lying down in his place. Now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. He was old. Verse 3, and the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. The place where Samuel is sleeping is next to the ark of the covenant. What a place to sleep, right? And says that the Lord, verse 4, called Samuel. The Lord spoke to Samuel and said, here I am. Then he ran to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he said, I did not call. Lie down again. So he went and lay down. Verse 6, the Lord called yet again, Samuel. So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. But he answered, I did not call, my son. Lie down again. Now Samuel did not know, this is important. Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord. Knew about him, did not yet know the Lord. Nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. That's that aha revelation. The rhema of God there. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, here I am, for you called me. And Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, okay, here's what you should do. Go lie down. It shall be that if he calls you, that you shall say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. So Samuel went and lay down in his place. Then the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, this time, speak, for your servant is listening. The Lord said to Samuel, behold, I'm about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And he goes on with this whole word, which you can stop reading there and read the rest later. Samuel, loving God, not yet knowing him, and certainly not recognizing his voice yet, hears the voice of God, thinks it sounds like Eli. This is really important for every person. The voice of God does not sound like Cecil B. DeMille's. It does not sound like some sort of whatever you would imagine. Oftentimes, most times, the voice of God may sound like another person that you know, may sound like someone that you don't know, may just be a whisper and you think it's someone else. But Samuel, here he was lying down in the temple next to the covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, the place that represents the presence of God. That's where he was sleeping. God starts speaking from the outside of Samuel, audibly to him, Samuel, Samuel. Well, now things have changed. That was the old covenant. What's happened in the new covenant, as we know, is the Holy Spirit has come. The Ark of the Covenant is now you. You are the place, the home address of the Spirit of God. The presence of God now dwells inside of us. 1 Corinthians 6 talks about this. 1 Corinthians 3 talks about this. You are the temple of the living God. You're the place where God dwells. God spoke to Samuel from outside because God lived outside of people then. So most of the time when they were hearing things from the Lord, it was the audible voice of God talking to them. Now the Holy Spirit's moved inside of us. Guess how he speaks? From the inside most of the time. He can still speak audibly. I've heard his voice twice audibly. Both times woke me straight out of sleep. Those are other stories. But he is speaking on the inside of us now. He's connected to every part of who you are as a born-again Christian who's following Jesus and has been filled and baptized with the Holy Spirit. He's on the inside. So he's connected to all of your nerve endings, to your brain, your thoughts, all of the things that make you you. God can speak. He can use any of those to communicate with us today, which is remarkable. We'll talk more about that. Okay, let's go to Exodus chapter 3, verse 1. You guys know this story as well. Now Moses was pasturing the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law. So these weren't his sheep. He's pasturing a bunch of sheep for the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the west side of the wilderness and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a blazing fire from the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire. Yet the bush was not consumed. So Moses said, I must turn aside now and see this marvelous sight, why the bush is not burned up. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush, again from the outside, audibly to him, and said, Moses, Moses, like he just said, Samuel, Samuel. And Jesus often says, truly, truly. If you hear your name twice, pay attention. Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. He responded to him. Which is interesting. That's just what happened with Samuel. God was speaking to Samuel. Samuel, Samuel. Thought it was Eli running in there over and over until he finally, Eli had that word of knowledge, that word of wisdom for him to respond next time he heard a voice in the same way. So when he responded and said, here I am, Lord, speak, for I'm listening. The Lord then communicates a whole bunch more than just his name. Gives him a whole bunch. But he waited, and you will see the nature of God throughout the scriptures and in these two stories. God often waits till we respond to his voice. He doesn't just talk, 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 and hope you might hear some of it. He is waiting, just like if I'm talking with someone, I want them to be paying attention. And if they're not, then I want to stop talking because it's not interesting. And the Lord is a bit similar in that. He is getting our attention. If we respond, we hear. He communicates. He has a whole lot more to say. That's what happened with Samuel when he said, simply speak, Lord. I perceive this as you. And the Lord spoke. Moses said, here I am. And the Lord then gives him a whole bunch. It was a calling and a mission to rescue 3 million people. Samuel was a boy. Moses was an 80-year-old man at this point who did not know the voice of the Lord yet. All of us are in this path and on this journey of hearing God's voice. What does it sound like? And many times, we'll go through this, some of this here in a minute. Many times we have mistakenly thought that God's voice was someone else. It happens all the time because we're not listening for the right thing. Our heart is, maybe isn't expectant of hearing him. But when we're expectant, you can hear him. The enemy does not want you to listen to the Lord or believe that you can. The enemy knows you are born again. You can hear God speak. So he's going to try everything he can with slinging those accusations we were talking about, slinging doubt, slinging you are not gifted in this way. Other people are, not you. No, I'm not important enough. All the crazy stuff that the enemy slings at us. Here's another picture of the nature of God. Proverbs 25:2 says, it is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but the glory of kings is to search out a matter. It's interesting scripture. It's the glory of God. God really enjoys concealing things for those who seek them out. He doesn't just put everything out there. It's like people have said to me, I'm not gonna believe in God until I see him face to face. That's how I know he's real. He doesn't work that way. Here's how he's done it. He's done creation. He's done the universe. He's done our bodies. He sent his son, he's done all these things, but it's not like you've got just this fact upon fact. It's like, oh, that's it, or I've just seen him. No, he paints a picture and he does all these things that still requires us to have a little faith, right? Very little. I mean, I just look at creation and go, there is no way this just happened. So it doesn't take much faith, but it still takes some, right? God hides things for us, not from us. God hides things for us, not from us. If we understand that he's this way, then this is an adventure. But if you think he's just hiding things from me, then I'm misunderstanding the nature of God. He's a father. I do this to my kids, especially when they were little. Buy something for them or have something that I stick it in my pocket or I'm hiding it somewhere and wanting them to find it. I want to see if they want it. If they don't really, they might not find it. They may not get it. The Lord is this way. The secrets of the Lord, the scripture says, are for those who love him, who pursue him, who fear him, who desire him. And Jeremiah says this, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. If, as we set our hearts to seek and pursue the Lord, we will find him. We will find more than we imagined in him. But God waits for the seekers. Not those who could give a rip, don't care. Well, I'm waiting for you to do something spectacular, God. He already has. He loves those who seek him. He reveals secrets to those who pursue him. I'm going to tell a bunch of stories over these next few weeks. I'm going to start with this one. I told you I grew up in a Christian home. Didn't believe that God spoke to me necessarily. Trying to live my best before him. I'm a firstborn. I would tend toward perfectionism. I like things in an order. I like facts. I like science. That's my nature. In 1995, I went to a ministry school, left the government job, went into pursuing really what I thought was going to be a missionary, and went to Bible school. In the Bible school, one of the classes was on hearing God's voice. I don't remember the title, but it was something along those lines. And the instructor did something that was really bizarre. It was a little freaky, honestly, to me at that moment. He put a chair in front of the podium like this, facing everybody in the class. And then he pulled someone from the class and sat them in that chair. And he said, hey, everybody, let's do something as a class today. This is so-and-so, this gentleman here. He and his wife are praying about something. Let's, as a class, see if God might speak to us to give them the answer to the prayer that they're praying to God. Now that right there messed with me. Because I thought, why doesn't he just ask God and God to speak to him? What do I have to do with it? And I don't know that God does that stuff. So I was leery. This seems weird. But I thought, you know what? I am here at a school. Perhaps there are things for me to learn. Which is always good to have that. Right? So I thought, okay, let's do this. So we prayed for a minute. I closed my eyes. He said, Lord, would you speak to us and show us? If you want to speak to us on behalf of this gentleman and what he's praying about. As he's praying that prayer, I do what I usually do when I pray. I daydreamed. You guys ever daydream when you're praying? You're supposed to be praying about something. You're trying to get focused, and your mind goes somewhere else. It's drifting over here, and it's over there. And then you try and grab that back, and then you feel ashamed. Oh, my goodness, come on, can I not pray? I mean, can I not just focus in on the Lord, right? So that's what happened to me. I'm praying, and there goes my mind. It goes over to a few years previous of a friend of mine named Elizabeth who went to Guatemala and looked into adopting a child there. And I just thought, you know, that's me just thinking as normal, daydreaming. So prayer time over, the instructor says, okay, class, what did you get? I ain't saying nothing. I just stare at the floor. And you know what happens when you do that in a class too? He called on me. He said, Matt, what did you get? And I said, I didn't get anything. And then he said something to me that has changed the way that I've heard from God from that moment to today. He said, okay, tell me what you were thinking while we were praying. Now that's completely different. Because I was expecting God to speak in a certain way. He didn't. And so I sheepishly said and embarrassingly said, I was thinking about this girl that I know who went to Guatemala and tried to adopt a child. As I said that, my wife, who was sitting next to me, she was in the class with me, she said, I was just thinking about adoption out loud. And I thought, that is bizarre. We look back at the guy who's sitting here and his mouth drops open. He and his wife are asking God about adopting a child from Guatemala, from that country, from that exact place. My daydream that I've always beat myself up for while praying was actually not just a daydream. It was God on the inside of me using my memory connected to a person that I knew a few years ago to be an answer to the prayer of this guy right here, and I'm as shocked as anybody. How many times have we beat ourselves up, felt shame for daydreams, when that very thing could be exactly what God is saying? That changed everything, and I realized, oh my goodness, God speaks differently than I thought he did. He can use anything. I gotta be paying attention now. Right? In my daydreams, Luke 11 talks about this. If you ask the Lord, Jesus says this, if you're asking a good father for a fish or some bread, you're not gonna get a stone, you're not gonna get a snake. How much more if you ask the Holy Spirit, for the Holy Spirit, will the Father give him to you? How much more will you receive from him great things, not shame, not bad things? And so I realized, oh my goodness, yes, I am born again. I am a son of God. He does live inside of me, and he's been speaking to me, and I've ignored him and beat myself up for who knows how many things he said to me. That was a game changer in my life. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. This is out of the Passion Translation. It says, stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. Isn't that a great one? This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. That's a great scripture. He wants us to be transformed in the spirit of our mind, being awakened and paying attention to what he is doing and what he's saying, and not having all my little boxes that says, God, you got to fit inside of that or I'm not, or it's not you. Man, that's called religion. That is how the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes missed the Messiah when he was standing in front of them talking to them and healing people. Because they had a box that they shoved the Messiah in. He better look like that or it's not him. And we can do that same thing with the way that God speaks to us. Samuel was doing it. Moses thought, what in the world is this bush on fire? I have found since this moment in my life till today, God speaks in numerous, if not thousands and thousands of different ways. If I'm paying attention and I'm looking for him. And then life is an adventure. It's incredible. You never know what he's going to use. It could be a person. It could be a donkey. He's used that before. Right? It could be a billboard. He could speak just a scripture on the inside of my spirit. And it's exactly what is needed in that moment. It could be a daydream. It could be a real dream. Speaks to me a lot through dreams. We'll talk about that as well. But what here's the main thing is believing that he speaks to me and then posturing myself in an awakened state. Have you ever purchased a vehicle that you like and you decide the color and you get that vehicle and you get on the road with it? Next thing you know, because you've just purchased that and you're driving one, you now recognize there are thousands of those, just like the one you're in. But all of your life up until that point, you didn't notice that. Is that true? You didn't notice it. But once you got that one, all of a sudden your eyes could see all of the other ones. It's the same thing with hearing God. When we will expect him to speak to me, it's like you begin to see him. Oh my goodness. God, you're saying this. I'm paying attention. I'm listening for what you're saying. I remember when I first met who's now my wife, Debbie. She drove this Honda Prelude. Man, I could spot that thing hundreds of yards away. As I chased her, I was always looking for where is she? Looking for that car. There's that type of expectancy God wants us to have for him, for his voice, what he's saying, what he's wanting to say, how he's wanting to communicate with us. And then he will communicate in so many different ways. Let me give you one. This is a weird one. I've never heard of this before. Almost every way he speaks to me, I've never heard of before. That's because he speaks uniquely to each unique son and daughter of his. It's a relationship that you have. The relationship that if you're married, that you have with your spouse is unlike any other relationship. You have little things that you say, no one has a clue what you're talking about. It's the same thing with us and God. He will talk to you in ways that only you understand. It's a beautiful thing. It's personal. It's unique. I bought this wall clock one time, battery powered, digital. It's all digital. Has the time, has the temperature, has the date, has the year. I started coming to work, and every once in a while, I noticed, what in the world, this stupid clock? I thought it was faulty. Sometimes the time would change entirely, the date would change, the year would change. Sometimes it'd go back in time, sometimes it'd go forward in time. I reset the thing. It's like, what is wrong with this thing? Hang it back up on the wall. Several days later, weeks later, there it is. Finally, I thought, you know what? I teach about hearing God's voice. I wonder, Lord, if this is you. Just asking that question. God loves questions. Just asking that question. It's speak, Lord, I'm listening if this is you. You sound like Eli. This seems like a dumb clock, but if this is you, speak to me. And as soon as I found this too, as soon as you say that, something happens on the inside. And it was, yes, this is me. And then I start, okay, show me. And I start looking up the date. I look up the time, or year and the month and day, whether it's in history or in my journals. Go back to my journals. And oh my goodness, now we've got a whole new adventure with God. And then sometimes it's in the future. I'm saying, Lord, what does that mean? What about, so maybe I'll look at the time. The time is a scripture. Looking at Matthew chapter 11 verses, you know, whatever it is. It's this invitation to participate with him in the adventure of a lifetime. In hearing from him. Sometimes what you're hearing is for you. Sometimes what you're hearing is for other people. Sometimes what you're hearing is for a nation to pray for. Sometimes for another person to pray for. I get things, several times I get things for celebrities. So weird. I'll have dreams about them. The Lord will give me words for them. Sometimes I write letters to them, or I just pray for them. Send them things. I've done that a few times. One other weird way here, and then we'll shift here, but since I was in about second grade, I've worn glasses. I wore glasses for several years. Then I threw them away. I broke many. Then I wore contacts for 25 years. Then I got laser surgery. But when I had contacts, I had hard contacts, and the way you get them out of your eyes, you do this, and it comes flying out. Did that for 25 years, every single day at night. Well, one night, I went to take out my contact, and it disappeared. You know what? This story's going to be way too long. I'm going to have to shift this story. Let me just say it this way, because there's a lot in this. I'll have to tell you another time. I know that I shouldn't do this, but here's what I learned, okay? I lost this contact, and then the next day or very soon after that, my right headlight went out of my car. And then both headlights went out of my car, which is really weird. So here's summarizing that story. I was asking the Lord, what is going on here, after I was really frustrated? And the Lord starts speaking to me about my faith. Oftentimes, my right eye speaks of faith. And I had lost faith in many ways. I was not giving. I was tithing, but I was not giving over and above. I was not in faith in any way. And the Lord used that to communicate to me and to convict me in a beautiful way, in an invitation way, to believe in him again for great things. And so now I pay attention to my right eye. I pay attention to my lens fell out of my eyeglasses I was wearing after I lost my contacts. It was just this repeated thing. Till I was, you know, sometimes I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer, but I really finally got a hold of this. Lord, you're saying something to me. So God can use that, and you can use so many, many different things. The religious will get angry if you say God speaks to you today, and the world will just simply think you're nuts. Right? So either you're nuts or God doesn't do that. But you know what? Again, we were made to hear his voice. He lives inside of us. And he wants to and is communicating with us all the time. All the time. It's daily he's talking. Sometimes it's just to build you up. Sometimes it's just to give something encouraging to someone else. But it's an inheritance. Hearing from God is your inheritance, a portion of it. Hearing from him. And if we are following him and we're not hearing from him, then something's wrong. Either we're not listening, or we doubt that he can speak to me, or we're not looking, we're not expectant, or we've just misunderstood his language. We've misunderstood his language, but we can learn his language. We can learn his language and find out the ways that he speaks. And we'll be talking about that more here in the next couple weeks. All right. Here's what I would like to encourage us today. We'll leave with this. Samuel's response is the one that ignited his personal relationship with God and his hearing from God, where he became the prophet for an entire nation. His response started with, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." That was it. He thought, on the instruction of Eli, that this could be God, so let me respond to him. And that opens things up, because God is the one who wants to be invited. He wants us to engage him in conversation. And so I would just like to encourage every single one of us today, even if you've heard him millions of times before, to say, "Speak, Lord, I'm listening." To be paying attention and be looking for him to talk to you. When you're reading the Bible, look for him to jump out of those pages. When you're driving down the street, when you're praying, pay attention to your daydreams. Pay attention to the thoughts that you have about a person. Someone may just come right into your mind that you haven't thought about for 5 years. They come into your mind. Pay attention. Speak, Lord, I'm listening. What are you saying about this person? How can I pray for them? Is there something I can do? Is there a way I can encourage them? Just that right there. All of a sudden, we then find ourselves living as a son and daughter of God in the Spirit that way. I mean, just by responding right there. We are now then led by not just the natural, by the Spirit of God. As he's speaking to us and leading us in ways. It's a beautiful thing. All right. Next week, we'll, Lord willing, share part two. And I want to talk about many more ways that he speaks to help ignite and show us some of the ways that he's probably talking to you already. So you can identify him. It makes a big difference. And then actually, tonight is Yom Kippur, which happens to be the Day of Atonement. It's the holiest day on the Jewish calendar. God uses that calendar. He really does. And I want to just encourage you to pay attention when you go to sleep tonight. Say, speak, Lord, I'm listening. Would you give me a dream? Would you show me something? Would you awaken my ears to hear as a disciple, as it says in Isaiah 50? And just watch, write down what you might wake up in the middle of the night, write down what you're getting. Maybe it's in the morning. Write down those things if you feel like it has the presence of God on it. You may not receive anything. Sometimes I don't on these days, but oftentimes on the Day of Atonement, there is it's like a unique way that God often speaks to people. And this is a time that we need to, you know, to hear his voice in so many ways. Let me pray for you and let you go. Lord, thank you for speaking. Thank you for purchasing us, for setting us free, for making us your own. Father, thank you that you talk. Thank you that you communicate, that we are never alone and that you are always with us. Thank you for sending your son. Thank you, Jesus, for coming and dying and giving yourself for us. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and filling us. Speak, Lord. We're listening. Open our ears. Awaken us. I pray for a fresh new relationship with you for everyone in here. A fresh new relationship, as if we just got born again for the first time, as we give to you all of our, boy, all the ways that we have been maybe let down in ways, or we're hurt, or we've been offended, or we've been wounded, or we've quit. We give you all that right now in a fresh, anew today. This day, we ask that you'd speak to us. We ask for an excitement about you, a joy more than ever before, a fire on the inside. I ask that you'd communicate even now. Give a word, give a scripture. Lord, we ask for those visions in the day and dreams in the night. Awaken our spirit in Jesus' name. And if you're in here and you do not know Jesus, you've never given your life to him, if there's anybody in here, today is the day of salvation, the Bible says. Jesus came from heaven. He came from heaven, was crucified for you personally. Out of love, God loves you. He wants you to know him, to have this relationship I've been talking about today. He wants to have that with you, and he will be with you through every difficult time. Not the difficult times won't come, they will, guaranteed. But he will be with you, give you purpose, take away addictions. He'll free you from every bondage. There's a friend of mine, I asked him, why did you get saved? He didn't know the Lord until he was in high school. His high school wrestling coach led him to the Lord. And he said, I got saved because of freedom. I so needed freedom. And man, his heart got free. That's the way that God is. He wants to free every single person. Free you from the inside. Those chains that tend to grip you and you feel like you can't get away from something or you're bound to oppressive thoughts. Jesus sets free. It's what he does. He is salvation. That's what his name means. He wants to save you and set you free. If that's you today, I want to ask you, invite you, urge you, compel you as a follower of Jesus to come and to give your life to him. To give your life to him. Don't let another day go by. Don't let another week go by. Don't say, you know, maybe I will in the future. If you don't know him today, make it today. Make this day the best day of your life. In one word, you have God with you, helping you through every single thing in life, making sense of things that don't make sense. These folks right up here would love to pray for you. Just come right up and talk to them. get prayer. And for those who just want to get prayer for any other thing, they're also up here for you. Prayer for healing, prayer for help, areas of your life where you would love some God assistance, they'll pray for you, with you. We also have teams out in the family room. What they're doing is they're asking God, speak, Lord, I'm listening, and I want to receive something to give away. It's encouraging for you. So if you want to go and sit on one of those teams, they will talk to you in a very kind, loving way, and they're going to pray and ask God for encouraging things from you. Boy, those small words of encouragement can change your life. Has mine. I keep with me on my computer all so many encouraging words that people have given me. It helps you navigate through life. Helps encourage you. So Lord's here to bless you, help you, free you, love you. Thank you, God. All right. You guys ready to roll? You ready for the week? You're going to hear from God. You're going to be expectant of him. You're going to be looking for that vehicle, which is God. Say, okay, God, what do you want to say to me today? And it's going to be amazing. I can't wait to hear some of the stories that you will have, even from this week. All right, have a great one. Lord bless you guys.
Thank you for listening to today's message. For updates on future episodes, make sure to subscribe to our podcast and leave us a review to let us know how we're doing. For more information about Awake Church, visit awakechurch.com.